Father, I thank you that Vicky is somebody that really seeks after your heart and is so determined and so dogged about seeking after you for her herself. But I thank you that beyond that, she's also dogged about seeking after you for this church. And I want to pray that you'd really bless her. I pray that she'd get more out of this morning than we'll all get out of this morning. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill her afresh. And as she speaks to us this morning, use her, Lord, to communicate what you'd have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. It's really great to be here. It feels like there's a lot of fresh life here in the congregation. Do you feel like that? And, you know, I just really feel that in this season, God is really stirring up the church. Not just our church, the church across the nation and I'm sure across the world, but also our church. He's shaking things and he's moving. And when he's shaking things, sometimes it can be very uncomfortable for us because he's shaking stuff out of us. Does anyone have that feeling of being shaken? Yeah, a few people. And, you know, last weekend, the journey, which if you don't know, that's the congregation that I lead. We had our annual weekend away. And it was just an absolutely awesome time. And it was so different from any other weekend that we'd had before because it was really deep. God was doing such a deep work in people's hearts of transformation, but also pushing them out of their comfort zone. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, as we're all part of the same church, when God's doing something over here with one group of us, like we're getting a breakthrough for the rest of us. Do you agree? Yeah. So the breakthroughs you're getting here in Marlow, you're kind of taking hold of them for the whole of the church. You know, the breakthroughs we're getting in the journey, we're taking hold of something for the whole of the church. And so, you know, as I see off the back of last weekend, like I can't really tell you all the things that have been happening because they're private to people's personal lives, but I've been amazed at what's been happening. And this week has been a crazy week for me because I've been involved in lots of things and it hasn't always been easy as God's been shaking stuff up in people's lives, but he's doing something because he's getting his church ready to be what it's been called to be. Are you up for that? God wants to get you ready here in Marlow to be the church that you've been called to be. You know, and I just like, I kind of feel a bit scared if I'm completely honest with you this morning because I feel like God's put some stuff on my heart to say. And when the guys were like praying for me before, one of them was saying something about straight talking. And I thought, well, that's what God's been saying to me to bring today. And it's a bit scary to be straight talking, to be honest. But I'm just trusting that Spirit is going to do something in our hearts this morning. Because I feel like God is saying the church needs to know who she's been called to be. And I feel that God is saying the church has had an identity crisis, not knowing who she's called to be. And God is doing something to shake us up out of that so that we will step into the fullness of what the church is meant to be. You know, what the church is meant to be here in Marlow. God is shaking you up to become that. And, you know, I'm so encouraged by the opportunity that's coming your way with the Marlow Youth Centre. Are you guys excited about that? Yeah? It's just an amazing opportunity. And I feel that God, he uses those things. I mean, when you think about it, all it is a youth centre. How could that be so amazing, if you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? It's just a youth centre. I mean, I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know if it's a nice building or what it is, you know. But God uses those things to do something in us. It's like he's presenting you an opportunity. And I feel like it's a grace opportunity for you as a church to get a fresh sense of what God has called you to be in this town. You know, it's not just about taking over what the council's no longer able to do with the youth. It's not just about that. God is going to use it to create fresh vision in you and give a fresh impetus to what he wants you to do in this town. And I believe it with all of my heart. That's the opportunity that's presented before you. But that doesn't mean to say it's automatically going to happen. I mean, I know you haven't definitely got the youth centre, so I'm talking as though you have. but let's just imagine you have got it. You know, it's up to you how you respond to this opportunity, okay? And it will be an opportunity for you to come together in unity as a church and really go for something together. And I really believe that. And maybe for some of you, you just thought, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's not my bag. And kind of just separated yourself from that. Has anyone thought that? A few people. But it's not. That's not what it's about. It's about what God is doing with you as a congregation, the opportunity he's given you, and it's about all you together going for that. And it's going to be bigger than just youth services, I'm sure. It's going to be much bigger than that. What it will be, I don't know. But God is speaking to some of you about what it will be, and you can see it. And so I just see, you know, how God comes. It's just so much of the way that Jesus does things, that he uses the weak things, doesn't he? The things you think, how can a youth centre propel us into the town? It's just, you know, it's not like a majestic building in the centre of the town. But God is sending you to the place, you know, to places in the town that, you know, might be considered in the world's eyes as being less. Does that make sense? But God is sending you there to do an awesome thing. So I just want to encourage you in that. And I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit this morning is going to shake us up again, give us fresh eyes to see, you know, cause us to repent. I think that's what's going to happen here this morning. Some of our mindsets, things that have been in our hearts that are kind of preventing us from stepping into what God has called us to be as the church. So just go with me in your Bibles to Colossians. So Colossians 1 verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in him, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And then just go with me to chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. So first of all, just go with me back to 1 verse 18. And, you know, this letter from Paul is just all about Christ and who he is. It's an awesome letter. I encourage you to read it and just meditate on it. But, you know, verse 18, it says, he is also the head of the body, the church. I just want to talk about that for a moment. We all know that, I'm sure. Jesus is the head of the church. But I feel that the Spirit wants us to think on that. What does it mean that Jesus is the head of the church? What does it mean? Ask yourself that question. What does it mean for him to be the head? Because if the head of the church is Jesus, okay, and the fullness of the deity dwells in him, so the fullness of God dwells in him, and then it says in Ephesians, 1:22-23, that he chose to put the fullness of himself, it's talking about Jesus, into the church. So the fullness of Jesus is in the church. The fullness of God is in Jesus. He's the head of the church. The fullness of him is in the church. What does that mean for what the church should be? Sometimes, I don't want to bring like condemnation on us, make us feel terrible. This is not the point. But you know, sometimes if we think about the fullness of God and we think about how the church is, doesn't always totally match up. But that's what God's called us to be. That's what he's called the church to be. And when we come under the headship, the leadership of Jesus, that means that his loving leadership can enable us to become who we've been called to be. He can enable the church to become what he's called to be. You know, that I'm so desperate for myself and for us all as a church that in the towns where God has called us to be as River Church, that we would be who God has called us to be. Because when we are, we're going to transform these towns. And I feel like I often speak the same message, but I don't really care, to be honest. You know, because I'm desperate for the church here in Marlow to become what it's created to be, transform this town. You know, and I know God's called you to go beyond Marlow, but, you know, we need something to happen in Marlow, a breakthrough. And so let's meditate and think on and allow the Spirit to let it go deep in our hearts to show us where our thinking is wrong and these kind of things that get in the way, to go deep of what it means for Christ to be the head of the church, the fullness in him, the fullness in the church that we are all part of. Let's think on it. And let's repent where our mindset is not in line with that. And let's let the truth change us, because then that's going to change the way that we are, the way we do church, the way we are here in Marlow. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to be part of myself. Do you want to be part of that? Good. And, you know, in verse 20, it's kind of, you know, talking about the ministry of Jesus. And, you know, it's good for us to understand what the ministry of Jesus is, because that's the ministry that we've been called to. And it talks about reconciliation of all things to himself. And when we're thinking about what God is calling us to be in Marlow, the reconciliation of all things, we're thinking, yeah, we're thinking about people's salvation, but we're also thinking about more. We're thinking about their whole life. We're thinking about this town, thinking about the land. Do you see what I mean? We're thinking about everything. We're thinking about businesses. We're thinking about the whole picture of what God wants, all things to be reconciled to himself. Let's just go to 2:6. I prefer it in this translation. So I've kind of got my big Bible here, but this little one to read from. Okay, I want to read some of this again. So 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. What does it mean for us to walk in him and being firmly rooted and built up in him? There's a fresh challenge for us to look at what that means, because too often we're looking to be firmly established in things of the flesh, our own strengths. We're looking to be firmly established in how well we can do stuff. And it's like, when I say all of this, I totally believe in doing things as well as possible and giving our gifts as an offering to him. But there's got to be a twist in how we say it, that we become the church from being firmly rooted and established in him, not from all the ways that we think we have to do things properly. There's got to be a twist in it. He is the one that's going to make things work. I know I'm not explaining that clearly, but hopefully you catch what I'm trying to say there. And verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You know, I know that a few weeks ago, Helen preached a bold sermon. Who was here for that? A few people. And she was addressing some of the things that she's seen of where maybe the world around us in Marlow and the things that happen have infiltrated the church. Is that fair to say? Yeah. And that is what can happen for all of us here. And you see, we've seen this verse. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men. There are traditions in our world that are trying to take us captive by deception. And God is wanting to get that out of us so that we can be the church that we're created to be in the world that he's called us to be in. And so some of us here, if not, well, I say some of us, all of us, there are things that are going on in our hearts where we've been taken captive by empty deception that God is wanting to put his finger on and bring repentance into those things. And just go with me to Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, there are some things that God is calling you as a church to stand up against in the town of Marlow, those strongholds which are taking people captive. And it's going to sometimes be hard to take a stand against those things. But the more you know who you've been called to be, and you have the fullness of Jesus in you as the church, empowering you, the boldness and authority that you will have to make a change and stand up against stuff in this town that is holding people in captivity. But in order to be able to do that, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not conformed to the world. And, you know, as you do that, God is going to break things here in the town of Marlow, things that have held people captive, things that are destroying this town, which is created for greatness. You know, there's things that about Marlow, and some of you, I'm sure, already, you know, you've lived here for years, and things that you believe that I don't know about, you know, or there will be new things that God will show you about what is Marlow, the town, meant to be? What is, like, what's it created for, as it were? And you as the church need to go and call that into being as you take a stand against the strongholds that are oppressing this town. So that's where we need to be, not conform the world to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Some of you need to prophetically do things to stand against this as a prophetic act in how you're living your life. I don't know exactly what that will be, but there are some things that God is asking you to do. And they might, when God shows you, you might be like, ah! But as you do it, it's going to bring breakthrough and freedom. Okay? Let's just look at another verse on that. 1 John 2 verse 12. Oh, sorry, 2 verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So that's some good verses there to think on. Let's not be lovers of the world. And you know what happens? It's so deceptive, isn't it? Because none of us want to be like that. And we think, oh no, I'm not like it. But a little deception comes in. And it happens very subtly to try and take hold of us. And we cannot realize. But as the Spirit comes and just shows us and brings freedom from these things, we can see how we can be different in the world that he's called us to be in. Okay, I just want you to go with me now to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We need to have a fresh revelation of the reality that we are not our own. We were bought with a price. We belong to Jesus. And therefore, how we live needs to be in response to that truth. You know, he's calling us out of our comfort zone and to a life of adventure with him, because we're not our own. We were bought with a price. And there will be costs that we have to pay. And, you know, many of us already know that we've already paid different costs, but maybe there's going to be fresh costs, fresh sacrifices that the Spirit is calling us into. And it will be painful, but we're not our own. We were bought with a price. And as we say yes to what God has called us to be, it will be so worth it that the pain will be in insignificance, because we need to have an internal mindset. We're on this earth for a short time. We have eternity with God. So it's worth it. So I feel this fresh sense of God stirring up the church to be radically given to him and to be who she was called to be, with the fullness of Jesus in her. Right, let's just go back. I'm going to end and we're going to respond. But I just let's go back to Colossians. And we're just going to look at verses 9 and 10. And if you were at the Wednesday meeting, you heard Leslie Ann was mentioning verse 10. But verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. As Leslie Ann said on Wednesday, we are already complete in him, we're already whole in him. You know, some of us don't believe that, and so therefore we discount ourselves from being part of the church that we're created to be part of in our true identity. We might think things like, I don't know enough about the Bible, or I'm not charismatic personality enough, or I'm too this, that, or the other. Whatever it may be, the things that hold us in chains, that make us believe the lie that we're not complete in Christ, and therefore stop us from stepping into the fullness of who we've been called to be. And I just feel like, just want to see that lie just trampled under our feet, that we are already complete in Christ. All of us, no matter what, we are already complete in Christ. And because of that, therefore, we are able to be who God has called us to be, and the church that he's called us to be, that will bring radical transformation to the Marlow. And so I'm just like looking for the Holy Spirit to come and reveal that revelation to us afresh, that will propel us, push us into action to be that church where the fullness of Christ is dwelling, because that's who we already are. We need to step into it. So that is basically all that I wanted to say this morning. I really would like us to spend the last 10 minutes responding to what God wants to do with us in our hearts. And so I just want to encourage you all to respond and ask the Holy Spirit, what is he saying to you? What does this mean for me? Because there's almost like I feel an urgency in my spirit. It's like there's a moment of opportunity. And the Marlow Youth Centre kind of just prods us about that. There's a moment of opportunity. We need to become, step into who we already are. A few weeks ago, I went to like a seminar day thing by Steve Chalk. And it was kind of how encouraging the church of how they can respond to what's happening with the whole big society thing. And he had this really good analogy, which I think we can use in all kinds of analogies of what God's doing in the church and the nation, is there's a boat and it's about to leave. And it's up to you whether you choose to step on it now, because it's going to go and they're going to miss the opportunity, as it were. And I believe that that is what's happening here. There's a moment in the spirit, something that God is doing. It's a boat that's about to leave, and we can choose to step on and be part of it. Now, of course, you know, I know God is gracious. He will give us other opportunities. But let's take this opportunity, okay? Let's step into who we're called to be now as the church here in Marlow. Let's not wait around until we somehow feel closer to God or dealt with this issue, that issue, or this circumstance in our life. We are complete in Christ now. So let's just, the worship team, do you want to just come up? Let's just maybe close our eyes and just be quiet before God and just ask the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for me? What are you saying to me? Yeah, Lord, I just thank you so much for the amazing church, which you are the head of here in Marlow, Lord. These amazing people, Lord, who are already complete in you, Lord, and who you've created for awesome things, both as individuals and together. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you begin to speak to our hearts. Show us, Lord, where you want us to see things differently, to repent. Show us any lies that have been holding us that we need to repent of. Show us the truth that you want us to embrace. Show us, Lord, what you're calling us to. And I just want to ask you, if you feel like you want to respond to what the Spirit is saying to you, just to maybe kneel if you're able to, either where you are or find some space. And because I feel that God wants us to humble ourselves before him. So if you feel able to do that, you just want to find some space just to kneel and say to God, yeah, I want to become what you've created me to be. Show me what needs to change in my heart. And I think that maybe some of you actually need to make a really bold step of maybe repenting in front of your friends here. If you feel that that's what God's asking you to do, you might want to come up to the microphone and just share what you want to say to God, what you want to say to your friends.